Jayaradamadhava Kunjabi Hari Jayaradamadhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Balaba Hidibadadhari Gopi Jana Balaba Hidibadadhari Yashoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nanana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tera Banachari Yamuna Tera Banachari Jai Ho Radham Madhova Kunjabi Hari Jai Ho Radham Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Bhadadhari Gopi Jana Malabha Giri Bhadadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Manachari Yamuna Tira Manachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Alstuttara Satoshi Shimad His Divine Grace of Ayachadanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anandakoti Vaishna Vrind Gijai Namacharya Shirohidas Thakur Gijai Harem Se Gho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nidananda Shitwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrind Gijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Go Bhagavata Sayam Kun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Gijai Vrindavanam Gijai Maturadam Gijai Jagadavasami Kajai, Munamai Kajai, Shimadi Glasi Devi Kajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindikajai, Gol Prevananda Hari Hari Gol. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Shilpopad Kijai. So I'm very happy to see so many people. We got 43 here on Zoom, and we have another 35 on Facebook right now. Not bad for class. It's more than we have in a normal Sunday program here. So, Omagana Tumidanda Shah Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurud Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, I'd like to speak about something positive today, since I think most of you have been talking or hearing about the so-called coronavirus, or as I say, Corona virus. Corona means merciful. So we're going to not talk so much about the virus, but about something called positive psychology and Krishna consciousness, which will be a new slant on Krishna consciousness for you. Don't worry, it doesn't mean a new slant, meaning that no more regulative principles, no more chanting 16 rounds. But it's a new way of looking at Krishna consciousness and utilizing traditional information. So let's describe what I'm going to talk about. So for many years, whoops, let me turn the better sound on here. Okay, that's better sound. So for many years, psychologists have been talking about negative psychology. Negative psychology means that people have certain problems, issues, and diagnoses, and the psychologists are trying to bring people to the standard of zero. In other words, there's a negative, and they're trying to bring people to the standard of zero, which means no problems, or very little problems, or being able to cope with their problems. So, that is very much in line with what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated about this material world. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that the happiness in this material world is like the happiness, and he gave the example, of a man on a dunking stool. Now, you all may not be familiar with this particular example. A dunking stool is a punishment that was utilized in America as well as in India, and probably in the UK too. They would put someone on one end of what was more or less like a seesaw, like children go on seesaws, and they would have that end over the water, and they would gradually lower the person who was sitting on the end of the seesaw into the water, and the person was kept underwater for maybe 2 minutes, hopefully not too much longer than that. And when they raised the person up, the person would enjoy like anything. Why? Because the person was able to breathe. So if we look at most of the enjoyment in this world, I mean all the enjoyment, sorry about that, it's based upon the cessation of an imbalance. For example, eating. One eats because they are hungry. And when you're no longer hungry, the eating process is probably not too enjoyable unless you're eating to fulfill some emotional need. So there's always a need, something that you're lacking. So you're bringing yourself to the standpoint of basically zero, no distress, no need, Om Shanti, 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 as they say. So that's traditional psychology, very much in line with what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught about the material world. So recently, the psychologists, within the last 20 years, have started looking at something called positive psychology. In other words, trying to ascertain how to have the best life, or what they call well-being, for people. And we are interested in that in Krishna consciousness too. We want the best life, not just instantaneous happiness or happiness that comes from the contact of the senses with the sense objects, etc., like that. But we want well-being, which is actually a much more holistic concept of happiness. So in order to ascertain what constitutes well-being, these psychologists who are studying this or coming up with a philosophy have come up with this acronym. Don't worry, I'll get Krishna conscious in a second. We're not completely in Maya. So they've come up with this acronym. And this acronym is PERMA. P-E-R-M-A. This is their standpoint, or this is their standard for what constitutes well-being in a person. So I was looking at this concept of PERMA. Actually, I've been studying quite a bit of it in my spare time when I don't chant Hare Krishna. So I've been studying quite a bit of it and seeing that as Krishna conscious persons, or as people who are aspiring to be Krishna conscious persons, we have the best shot at achieving this PERMA, or this well-being in life. And so I'm going to go over each item of this particular acronym. Okay, so PERMA, let's start with P. So the P in PERMA starts or represents a positive attitude. Now, right now, many of us may not be experiencing a positive attitude because of various reasons. We may be, that's good. Thank you for Aditya for putting that up there. P means positive attitude. we may not be experiencing that because we're feeling locked up, confined. We may be worried about what? Our financial situation. Some of us may not be able to work. Or those of us who are in a temple are worrying, oh, will there be money to pay for the boga? Don't worry. Krishna says, Nitya Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bohanam Yovadadati. Come on, he takes care of everybody. Actually, on the side, I was just speaking to our devotees in New Talavan, which is one of our farm communities, and they were worried, where is the boga going to come from? That is, the vegetables. And I said to them, well, you got 2,000 acres, boys. Get to work. And one person said, well, it's very hard to inspire the devotees to actually grow food. Guess what I said? Okay, as your GBC, as of 2 months from now, no more buying boga. It's interesting. So let's see what happens in New Talavan. Of course, we can't do that here for various reasons. Maybe we could. Maybe we can inspire the devotees to grow vegetables. So anyway, so getting back to the positive attitude. So it's quite difficult nowadays with all these stressful things. Do I have the virus? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my family? So how do devotees have a positive attitude in all circumstances? It's a very interesting question. And of course, first thing is we understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That may come as a shock to some of you. So as God, that's G-O-D, as God, he actually controls everything. He's the supreme controller. There's many verses. Ishvara sarvabhutanam, Ridesha Arjuna Tishtati, Ramayan sarvabhutani antra runani maya. That's from the Bhagavad Gita. And also Ishvara Parama Krishna Satyananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Which means Krishna is the supreme controller. He's the cause of all causes. Do we actually have faith in that? So in other words, not a blade of grass. Let me go back a little bit because I see my face is too big. So not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is quite interesting. Although people who are not Krishna conscious think something opposite. There's an interesting verse 16:8 in the Bhagavad Gita that states, asacham apratishtam te jagadaharanishram aparasparam sambhutam kimanyat kama haitukam. And this is the Vedic or atheistic viewpoint, which is they think everything is due to lust, or in other words, it's all due to chance things and evolution and all that other nice stuff. And there is no reason for anything in this world. Everything happens by chance, and some people are fortunate, some people are unfortunate by chance. So, therefore, we, as people who have some faith, hopefully, Shraddha Shabde Visha Shakahe Sudrida Nischaya, faith in Krishna, faith in the existence of Krishna at least, we understand that whatever is happening that is not in our control actually is being done by the agency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his agents, who he is controlling 100%. So does that mean we should get angry at God for what he's doing? No. Because we should understand that Krishna's intention, as Krishna says in the Gita, samaham sarvabhuteshu name dveshosti dapriya. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. It's not that I'm favoring some people or not favoring others. So whatever Krishna is doing, even though it may appear to be something that's really bad, and this coronavirus is really bad, not just the coronavirus, but so many things in this world, such as janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshana darshanam, then there's a reason behind it. And the reason is, for our benefit. As Krishna says in the fifth chapter of the Gita, Bhaktaram Jagatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarva Bhutanam Gatva Mam Shanti Richati. That he is Suridam Sarva Bhutanam, which means he's the well-wisher. He's the not only a regular well-wisher, not only just Mitra, friend, but he's the heart wisher. You know, he's in our heart, he's wishing us well. And so, therefore, it behooves us to try to understand what Krishna is saying to us, what Krishna is doing. I mean, there's things happening on a macrocosmic level as well as a microcosmic or an individual level. On the greater level, we can say that Krishna, let's say talking about this virus, for example, which I said I wasn't going to talk about, but I am, that Krishna is actually showing that these particular types of viruses come from people who eat meat, or let's say the raising of animals for slaughter. So there's some sort of reaction there. So that's on a bigger level. On a individual level, each and every one of us has to figure out what Krishna is telling us, what Krishna wants us to learn by these difficulties we're going through. And of course, we're not asking for more difficulties like Queen Kunti was asking for. Queen Kunti, of course, she said, tatra tatra, Jagat Guru, again and again, send difficulties. But Prabhupada said we shouldn't ask for difficulties. But we should understand, what are we meant to learn? I mean, I'll give you a practical example in my own life. Generally, I think I'm the controller, like most of us in this world. As Krishna says in the Gita, this the mentality of practically every one of us who's not completely Krishna conscious is Ishwaraham, aham bogi, siroham, balavan suki. That I am perfect, I am powerful, I am happy, whatever. So, you know, we think we can control things, especially those of us who have some knowledge of technology. And some of you work in the technological field who are watching us right now. And, you know by programming a computer a certain way, and you know you can go on the internet and Google something and find it out. So, I'm going to use an example of my own life, something I just learned. Okay, I was in Fiji, and some of the people from Fiji are watching us right now, actually. Adi Purush and Mahamantra, I see them up there. And Gokul Bandhu. So it's nice to have people from all around the world. So I was in Fiji, and I heard about this virus. I thought, well, I better go home. So I made a reservation, went on the internet with my trusty computer, and thought, you know, I've done it. Okay, it was canceled. And I thought, no problem, I'm intelligent. I can make another arrangement. So I went on my trusty computer, finagled around, found which country would actually allow me to transit through it. And I thought, I've beaten it. Okay. Then I found out the flight was canceled, and also that country wouldn't let me transit afterwards, after I made that reservation. Okay, third time we tried it. Then after that, I thought, you know, I've beaten it. I know what I'm doing. I'm intelligent. And then guess what? They closed the airport. So, what did I learn? The first two times I was in anxiety, thinking, you know, why can't I do this? The third time, I just threw my hands up like, I guess, somewhat like Draupadi threw her hands up when Dushyant was attempting to do his thing on her. And I said, Krishna, whatever you want, then I'll accept. And then the next thing I knew, Krishna sent me to stay a week on the beach, you know, swimming every day and having a good time with devotees. So, and then I was able to actually recover my health and be healthier than I've been in years. Many of you can see that I'm starting to look like an Indian now. The skin color. So Krishna had a plan. Actually, even I was walking the other day outside, you know, I have to keep my distance, and people said, I didn't recognize you. So it also would help me relax a little bit, study a little bit more, think more about my purpose of life, think more about, you know, life could end at any minute. You know, these are different lessons. Even coming back here on the airplane was practically a very frightening experience for me, because it was like going through a war zone. You know, everybody with their masks and scared of each other. And then I was thinking, yes, this life could end at any minute. So in my personal life, actually, I've learned a lot from this particular circumstance. I mean, hopefully Krishna will let me live. But anyway, so I've learned a lot, the temporary nature of this material world. And I would say that Krishna has helped me advance tremendously in devotional service by what's happened. I mean, one thing is I've actually lost my attraction to watching Star Wars movies. It's actually pretty good. Pretty good for me. So anyway, just being honest. I mean, everyone says I preach honestly, so I'm trying to preach honestly. So there's there's a lesson for each and every one of us in this. And we have to figure out, what is this lesson? What do we have to learn? And what do we have to do about it? You know, I myself am taking my spiritual life much more seriously. And therefore, to me, I see it positively. It's Krishna. Krishna loves me, and Krishna is helping me in this way. And when one sees in that way, there's an interesting verse in the Bhagavatam, 10:14, 58, about padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There's danger at every step in this material world, and we're actually learning this. And it says that one who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this whole ocean of material existence becomes shrunk to the size of a calf's hoofprint. And one can easily cross beyond or cross over this ocean of material existence. And so, and it's described in the Bhagavatam in the purports of the Acharyas that one doesn't even notice how they've crossed over this material existence if one takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, in that way, of course, we just touched upon the first point, the P in the Purma. If we see Krishna everywhere in everything, and of course, in another verse that comes to mind, 6:30 in the Gita, you know, Yomam Pashati Sarvatra, Sarvam Chamai Pashati, Dashaham Na Pranashami, Sacha Me Na Pranashati. That one who sees Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna is never lost to Krishna, basically. And so everything becomes positive. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. That's another verse. That means a devotee of the Lord sees the whole universe as blissful. Now, that may be a hard step to take. It's all blissful, you know, wow, are you in bliss? But the whole, I know that sounds difficult to everybody. I see some people laughing at that, but it does. That's the Krishna conscious standpoint. It's blissful. And then, as I often said to the devotees as we were going through this whole thing, you know, if Krishna gives you a lemon, you make lemonade from it. In other words, you can turn everything positive. And you look at these great acharyas. I mean, even now, that as an example, I wasn't even thinking of this before, of my wonderful friend, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who had this terrible cancer. I mean, it was just eating his whole body. And he utilized that particular circumstance, how to teach people how to leave the body. And he was never depressed about it. He saw Krishna everywhere and everything. I'm not wishing that upon anybody. And I saw that with Prabhupada, a similar thing. So, obviously, I hope everybody has healthy, long life, and blessing everybody. You all have my blessings here. Blessings. So, but we have to be ready to deal with all these circumstances and be positive about everything. Very, very important. And I think the psychologists hit it right on the nail, but they don't know how to be positive about everything because certain circumstances arise. And because if they're not Krishna conscious, they're not believing in God, what's the positivity there? You know, if Krishna takes everything away, and he does that sometimes with his devotees, yashaham anagrinamayi hriyishyeta tadamshanai, how can you be positive about it? But the real lack is the loving relationship with Krishna. We'll get on to that in a second. All right. So I'm looking at the time. I don't want to go too long. And also I want to have time open for questions at the end of this whole discussion. So the next one is E. Now, what does E stand for in the Purma? E stands for engaged. Maybe you can write that down for everybody, Aditya, so they can see it. Engaged. Engaged means, for those of you who are Westerners watching us, it means being in the flow. For those of you who are computer programmers, it means getting so much into your programming you forget about everything. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? I think many of you do computer programming or work with computers, or if there's some musicians here, like our friend Mahamantra and Adi, who's hoping to be a musician. So Adi Purusha. So I want to be. So when you really get engaged, absorbed in something, then you don't notice anything else. And so, in Krishna consciousness, of course, there's a wonderful verse in the Gita, Brahmaparta Brahmahavir Brahmagno Brahmanohutam Brahmatenik Antavyam Brahmakarma Samadhinam. Basically, Prabhupada's first translation of that verse was that if one makes a full contribution to Brahman, then everything becomes spiritualized. His life becomes spiritualized, the offering becomes spiritualized, the result of the offering becomes spiritualized. Everything, so that's absorption. So in Krishna consciousness, we have something called varnashram. And I'm talking more or less like varna now, not ashram. Varna means we all have particular things we can do for Krishna, and everything you do for Krishna in accordance with your psychophysical nature can give you perfection. I mean, that's wonderful. Like Arjuna, what was he doing for Krishna? He was fighting to protect others, and that was his psychophysical nature. And Krishna said to him in the Gita that even if you don't want to fight, you're going to be forced to fight, but for the wrong purpose, because everybody has a nature. You know, some people like to study. Some people like philosophy. Some people like to manage. Some people like making money. Some people like, what else? Like working with their hands, doing little artistic things. Some people like building buildings. Well, guess what? You should do all those, any of those things that fit your psychophysical nature, you can do them for Krishna. The whole point is to be absorbed. Like Prabhupada said, the duty of the spiritual master is to ascertain the psychophysical nature of the disciple and engage her or him according to the situation. And that's wonderful. So in other words, I was asked the other day about this verse in the Gita, where Krishna says he who teaches this Bhagavad Gita to the devotees is most dear. So one other devotee asked me the question, does that mean everyone else is less dear to Krishna? And my reply was pretty much in line with what Prabhupada taught us, is that if everyone's contributing to it, then they're all getting equal benefit. Like Prabhupada gave the example, which is a little dated example, of the Indian railway system. And the Indian railway system has this motto, what is it? Keep the wheels turning. So in other words, someone is shoveling the coal, someone is fixing the locomotives, but everybody is participating, getting equal benefit. So it's the same thing. Someone is cooking for Krishna, someone is doing the deity worship, someone is distributing books, and it's all for the benefit of the general mass of people, bringing people to Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada called it the Krishna consciousness movement. So one needs to find something that they really can be absorbed in for Krishna. Like I see Jagat is watching it right now, and he's absorbed, he's doing his, like today he was absorbed in helping me get the network together, like 100% absorbed, like samadhi, network samadhi. So, internet samadhi. You know, he probably dreams about computers and things like that. But that's perfection. So that's the second point of the perma. Everybody remembers that? Engagement, or being absorbed, or being in the zone, or being in the flow. Because that's when we're happy. When we're doing that, when we're in the flow, when a musician is just absorbed in doing music for Krishna, of course. So Krishna consciousness gives us the means of doing that. And the next one, P-E-R, is something that's very important. It's called relationships or relation. So we have many relationships or relations. For example, let's take Krishna, for example. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's all attractive. He loves every one of us. We all have a personal relationship with him. We have a loving propensity that we want to expand unlimitedly, as Prabhupada says in the Krishna book. And we get frustrated in that loving propensity when we try to involve the loving propensity in other objects. Of course, I'm not saying we don't love everybody. We'll get to that in a second. But if we invest our loving propensity with Krishna, Krishna is always with us. One of the things that really inspired me when I joined the Krishna Conscious Movement was that I just needed to chant Krishna's name, and my best friend was with me. Now, normally, you know, your best friend may be in the other part of the world, and particularly now that there's this lockdown, you may not be able to see your best friend except on the internet. In fact, I was missing all of you. I was locked away in Fiji, suffering on the beach. So now I'm here, but I still can't see you except on the internet. So what can we do? So, but with Krishna, you don't have to go on the internet. We know his email address, telephone number. Like Prabhupada said sometimes, he didn't use email address because he didn't have email addresses then. He said we know his name, address, and telephone number. And every time you say, Krishna, Krishna's dancing on the tip of your tongues, he's with you, he's in your heart. I mean, it's amazing. So that relationship is there. Also, centered on Krishna, we can love everyone. The Ishopanishad says, what is it? Yastu sarvani bhutani atman evanu pashati. That one has a vision of everyone being connected to Krishna. Another verse in the Gita, Mame Vangsa Jiva Luke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritishtani Karshati. That everyone is part and parcel of Krishna, you know, so we're all the same family. So as far as relationship, we should have very satisfying relationships if we see like this. I mean, sometimes we may have differences of opinion and everything like that, but I would say that, you know, I have more loving relationships now and learn how to love more being a Krishna conscious person, or trying to be a Krishna conscious person. I have to be careful of my hubris. Trying to be a Krishna conscious person than I've ever experienced before. I have so many friends. Not only Krishna is my friend, I hope. Krishna was even Ravana's friend. So I have so many friends and well-wishers, and it's Krishna, and it's just, life is blissful. Life is very blissful. So relationship is very, very important. And then also, just to finish up with that, with the R, there's a verse in the Nectar of Instruction, Dadati Prati Granati Guyam Akyati Prichati, Bhunte Bhojate Chaiva, that we engage with other people in giving prasadam, accepting prasadam, revealing the mind, helping people understand Krishna consciousness, giving gifts, accepting gifts. I mean, that R is most completely fulfilled, the relationship is most completely fulfilled in Krishna consciousness. Okay? We got two more. M and A. Okay. Let's see. We're doing well for time. So M means meaning. Okay. Having a meaning to life. Also on a personal basis, the reason one of the main reasons I joined Krishna consciousness is because I couldn't figure out any other meaning of life. In spite of my mother's insistence that the meaning of life was to serve her. And I asked her, which is what you should all do if someone says that to you, why? And that'll pretty much frustrate anyone who says that your meaning of life is to serve them, unless they happen to be a devotee, whatever, spiritual master, then they can give a philosophical explanation. So I asked why. What is the meaning of life? What is life meant for? Where did I come from? Where am I going? So, what is the use of a life without meaning? And of course, that's more or less like existentialism. Some of you may have heard of the philosophy of existentialism, like Nietzsche or Sartre, who said that you have to develop your own meaning, but ultimately life has no meaning. That's pretty depressing. And if you look at these people who have that particular belief, they usually ended up committing suicide or being extremely depressed. So having a meaning, a purpose in life. So we should be able to ask ourselves, what is our purpose? And of course, the ultimate purpose is to actually understand our real nature, who we are in the spiritual realm, what is our relationship with Krishna, and then also this purpose is connected with that purpose, such as what? Helping people come to Krishna. It's very important. Like what Aditya Narayan Prabhu does with the book distribution. You know, it's a very important thing. It's, of course, one may look at book distribution just as distributing books, but that's not really the point. The meaning of it, we should always be asking ourselves, what is the meaning of whatever we're doing? What is the reason we're doing it? You know, sankalpa, that's Sanskrit. In other words, we're distributing books to bring people to Krishna. It's then it becomes very blissful, but if you just look at yourself as a book distributor, then it's not so blissful. But if you say, to bring people to Krishna, to please the spiritual master, then it all becomes tied in with relationship and the R there. So I experienced that having Krishna consciousness gives my life meaning. So there's no question of ever getting depressed, because I have a purpose in life. And then the final one is A, and you can write this down. That means achievement or accomplishment. So, in other words, we have to feel we're getting somewhere in life. We're achieving something. We're accomplishing something. So, of course, getting back to Aditya Narayan Prabhu, who sponsored this talk, that just a joke. That, you know, when we bring people to Krishna consciousness, we feel like I've achieved something. I mean, every time I am able to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, I become very blissful. Because it means my life has meaning, I'm achieving something. Every time we make some spiritual advancement, and you can actually tell your spiritual, you can ascertain how much you're getting advanced or you're advancing spiritually. Prabhupada said that, just like you could tell how you're growing by measuring your height. When I was young, my mother would measure my height against the wall. She'd make a mark on the wall. And every day I measured it, but it didn't grow every day. But after a while, you could see how I was growing. It became very inspiring. So by purifying your existence, And we can actually see how we're achieving things in this world. And so book distribution, prasadam, chanting, and also Vasudeva, Bhagavati, Bhakti Yoga, Prayojita, Janayati Asu Vairagya, Gyanam Chayada Haitakam. By performing devotional service, one actually loses a taste for things that are not making them happy. I mean, like I just gave the example of my Star Wars taste. It just went away. Amazing. I'm just thinking, it would never happen. And it just went away. So I could see, wow, Krishna's given me a little bit of spiritual advancement. And so this is very inspiring. I'm achieving something. Because if you don't achieve something, if you don't feel you're making advancement, don't feel you're helping people, don't see substantial, objective evidence, then how could you really be satisfied in life? So this is my analysis of positive psychology and how it fits in with Krishna consciousness. I became very inspired when I started reading about positive psychology. And I think we, or spiritualists in general, can really be the only ones who are practicing to the highest degree positive psychology. So, on that happy note, we'll open this up for questions, if anyone has a question about anything I might have said.
Question?
Yeah, there is Mother Tulsi in the dark. Okay, what's the question?
Okay, so we have some younger people here online, devotees. No, I'm very senior. In age, old age. So if we just start thinking of the things we're attached to, like, oh man, I have to, like, I'll know I'm getting advanced when I'm starting to become detached to this thing I'm really attached to, that can be
depressing.
Like a negative kind of mentality.
Yeah, so therefore we don't think, we don't...
They're not enthusiastic.
Yeah, let me answer your question. So therefore we don't think about what we're attached to. I mean, I didn't worry, just using the example of Star Wars, I didn't worry about my attachment to it. I mean, it wasn't against the regular principles. I understood it. I was aware of it. It did make me guilty. But I just took a positive tact. You know, Krishna helped me in many ways, just taking a positive tact by chanting Vasudeva Bhagavati. We should not think negatively about giving things up. Unless there are obvious, you know, things that are really dangerous to our health. I mean, that's obvious. But even when we do give things up, we should have a positive reason for doing them. I mean, for example, one thing I gave up is I was going to take my dinner right now, but so I gave up taking my dinner. But I'm much happier talking to all of you. I'm going to take dinner afterwards. Don't worry. I'm much happier talking to all of you. So it's not that it was difficult for me to do that. So when you're doing something, it's called a higher taste, rasa varjam, rasa pirsa, padam drishtani vartate. When experiences a higher taste, then it's quite easy. Then you don't worry about giving things. It naturally happens. Just like when you grow up, you naturally give up playing with blocks. I haven't played with blocks in, God knows, 65 years. And nobody grabbed my blocks away, you know, blocks, A, B, C, D, you know, blocks. Nobody grabbed my blocks away from me. So you don't worry about giving up things. Automatically, you become so happy, spiritually absorbed, there's no need at all to think about giving up things. That's spiritual life. And, of course, that's described. Rasa varjam, rasa pyasa, param jasa divartite. By experiencing a higher taste, what is fixed in consciousness? So, good question. No, we don't want to be negative about anything, just positive, positive, positive. And then we're happy. And I try to do that too in my own life. See Krishna everywhere, see Krishna in everything. And what does Krishna want me to learn? That Krishna loves me. When you're working out of love, then life becomes very pleasant. You can do so many things that you ordinarily would not want to do if you're doing something out of love, right? I mean, oftentimes I give the example of a lady who works in the bank. Of course, the banks are pretty much closed up except for the drive-in windows right now. But usually you have these ladies who work in the bank and they're sitting in this booth for 8 hours a day, which is pretty much torture as far as I'm concerned. And if you asked me to sit in a booth for 8 hours a day, I'd be pretty upset. And so, but they have a picture of their family whom they love. And they're not thinking of it as austerity, or they just keep looking at their picture of their family in between counting the money. And they're happy. They're smiling. So when you do things out of love, everything's easy. So there's no need to give things up. Think positively. If you have the right mood, just like, all right, let's say we talk about chanting rounds. You know, we chant, all right, I chant 16 rounds and 64 at a codicil when I get a chance. And so I'm not thinking I have to do it. Every time you think you have to do something, it makes it miserable. So I'm thinking I'm chanting my rounds because I want to connect with Krishna. I'm chanting my rounds because I want to please Prabhupada. I'm chanting my rounds because I want to advance spiritually. And I'm chanting rounds because I like it too. But so there's a positive reason. It's not that, oh my God, 16 rounds and what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt, as the song goes. I don't know if any of you remember that song from the 1930s. 16 rounds, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Yamaraj, don't call me because I can't come. I owe my whatever. So, anyway, so it's positive. Naturally. You know, so I don't play with blocks anymore. Maybe when I get a little older I will, but not now. So, I'm feeling very young. I mean, the body's old, but I'm feeling young, happy in Krishna consciousness. And so, you know, I realized that these principles that were being taught by the positive psychologists were pretty much what I was agreeing with before. And I hadn't put them into such a system, but I'm using that system to explain Krishna consciousness. So, any other questions or comments or
argument?
Yes, Ayush.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I just have a question that when you were saying to grow in spiritual life, you can see, this is happening, so I'm getting a little bit bigger, a little bit higher in spiritual life.
Yes.
But in a point of time, you may be thinking, this is a symptom that I'm getting higher. Oh my God, I'm getting becoming a better devotee. And then that time, since you are getting more qualities, you feel more proud and you feel... you start to fault find. So how to avoid that, but still know that you're progressing in devotional service? How to keep a humble attitude always? Like for me, I in my emails, I write humble servant. I'm trying to develop that attitude, tips to develop a humble attitude. So
That's actually quite a good question, Ayush. Thank you for it. The answer I traditionally give is that we need to be surrounded in the association of devotees, because as soon as we start to, as the expression probably used, get puffed up, it's not one of the traditional expressions in the English dictionary, but probably used that regard to Mr. Frog, that example of Mr. Frog, I think you know that, puffed himself up so big he finally exploded because he wanted to measure the size of the ocean. So what I experience is that when we're with the devotees, if we start to get puffed up, you know, with I'm so advanced, you know, I'm basically God's gift to humankind or whatever, then we get pulled back, you know, hey buddy, you're not like that. I'll give you a practical example in my own life, because I like to give examples of my own issues. This was many years ago when I was a little older than you. And I was on traveling Sankirtan, which means the book distribution, for those of you who don't know, and distributing Prabhupada's books. But I was, actually, I was arranging programs for a sannyasi. And I was traveling by myself because I was like going ahead of him and distributing books. And I became quite good at distributing books. And I thought, you know, I'm basically one of the best book distributors that in the ISKCON movement. I actually was one of the first. I was one of the first, yeah. Now I'm proud of that. So anyway, so I was thinking I'm one of the best book distributors. So anyway, so finally I meet this particular sannyasi. I was a brahmachari at that time. I meet this particular sannyasi, and he says, how are you doing? I said, I've become so good I can distribute a book to anybody I want. And he started laughing, and I said, just watch. And so I spent the next 3 hours trying to get someone to tell me the time of day, what to speak of, take a book. So being in the Association of Devotees, you know, my false prestige was really cut down quickly. So it's important to sadhu sangha, Sarvasashrakoi, Lavamatra, Sadhusanga, Sarvasidihoi, to always be with people who can correct you and take corrections. I mean, taking corrections is pretty hard. It's one of the hardest things in this world when someone tells you, you're wrong. And naturally, when you get a higher position, the more advanced you get, it may get a little harder. What do they say? Pride goes before the fall. Absolute power, you know, whatever, is very contaminating. So I always have to remember in my situation, you know, I'm a guru, supposed to be absolute and everything, all those nice things. So I have to remember that I'm just a humble servant of Krishna. That's another way of dealing with it. That I'm not perfect. I am simply, you know, a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord who maintains the Gopis in Vrindavan, Gopi Bharata, Padakamala, Dasa, Dasa, Dasanu, Dasa. And it makes me blissful to think like that. In other words, when I'm sitting, even as a guru on the Vyasasana, I'm thinking that I'm serving the people who are offering me some respect. And it's very blissful. To actually serve people is much more blissful. Even Lord Chaitanya, he's Krishna himself, and he's there because he wanted to enjoy serving more than being served. Isn't it? One of the reasons Lord Chaitanya or Krishna appeared as Lord Chaitanya is that he was thinking Radharani is enjoying more than him. And so he's saying, I want to enjoy as much as Radharani, so let me become a servant of myself. So think about that. But it's hard. Yes, it definitely is hard as one get straight, janmaishvarya shutashashi biredavana adapuman. This is another verse, which means if one has a good birth, just like those of you from India, if you're a Trivedi or a Chaturvedi or a Gupta, whatever. Look at some of the names. Anyway, if you're from a Brahmin family, that's a doctor's name. Gupta is a doctor's name, actually. So if you're from a Brahmin family, that's janma. I am a good birth, like this. And, or one, anyway, the whole caste system. Janma Aishwarya, if one has a lot of money, it's very bewildering. Very, very bewildering. Janma Aishwarya Shrutash, if one is very learned, able to juggle words, it's very bewildering. And Trivia, if one is actually very materially beautiful, it's very difficult. Or attractive or handsome. Actually, there's an interesting story in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because Lord Chaitanya was so handsome, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was worried about his sannyas. He said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I'll give you sannyasi, you know, I'll train you up as a sannyasi, basically, because you're so young. You're only 24. He was only 24 when he took sannyas. And he was the most attractive person. So these are dangerous things. So one has to be very alert when one is given an opulence by the Lord. Also, another point is the Shikshashika. Nadanam nijanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Mama janmani janmani shre bhavatad bhakti hoita gitwaye. Nadanam nijanam nasundarim kavitam va jagadisha. I don't, you know, one has to really be detached from these things and simply think, I just want to love you, Krishna, and serve you, Krishna, and the devotees, life after life. Janmani janmani shre bhavatad bhakti hoita gitwaye. So, anyway, the Shikshashika helps us deal with it. But I think it's primarily, to answer your question, it's the association of devotees that help us. Okay?
Yes. That's in mind. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Ayush. So, any other questions by anybody? Let's see. What time is it? Oh, sorry. 6:09. Questions? We have one. Oh, Rishikesh. Rishikena Rishikesh Sevanam Bhakti Ruchute. You have a question?
Yes, a question.
Can you speak clearer so everyone can hear you?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but it's not so clear.
I think someone else can take the question. I'm in a headphone, so it's not picking up the. My question was, what is the correct way of expression of humility? How do you express humility in a genuine way?
Okay, how do you express humility in a genuine way? Well, that's an interesting question. As oftentimes when I'm asked that question, I give the answer that humility means, not to think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less. That's an interesting question, interesting answer. In other words, humility doesn't mean simply to go around telling everybody, I'm just a humble servant, I'm useless. Like, then you get very depressed. And that's another way of we can express self-centeredness if we just talk about ourselves. But real humility means to understand that we're servants of Krishna, servants of everybody, especially Krishna, his devotees, and others. And sometimes just give up our own, let's say, objectives or plans for the objectives and plans of the person who we love the most. That's Krishna. Just knowing, trying to ascertain, or all right, going back to the first P, the positive attitude, trying to understand what Krishna wants, what Krishna is saying, what Krishna wants, and then acting accordingly. And I think it's also, humility is also described by Rupa Goswami in the nutshell verse of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Anyabhi lashita shunyam gyanakarma navratam anukulyena krishna anushilana bhakti rutamam. To serve Krishna according to what he wants, to serve him actively, and to do it joyfully. So I would say that that's a pretty good definition of humility, to do it joyfully, and not to consider yourself the doer. To consider that you're simply being instrumental. And that's what Krishna says to Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, that be my instrument. Arjuna, being instrumental, not claiming proprietorship, you know, I've accomplished this, I've accomplished that. Because really, what can we accomplish? I mean, everything, as Krishna says in the Gita, I'm the ability in people. I'm the strength of the strong, the intelligence of the intelligent. And if we remember that, you know, my intelligence, ability, strength, whatever, belongs to Krishna. It comes from Krishna. Because if Krishna doesn't want, then I could just sit here in back of the microphone and just like not say anything that people will understand. But Krishna's given me the intelligence, and I give Krishna all the credit for it. All right? So, what do you think? Anybody else before we end?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Nice lecture.
Hare Krishna.
So, my question is, you know, now it's a time of anxiety.
Yeah.
And of course, the whole world is in anxiety, and as devotees, we are trying to see what best we can keep ourselves engaged with.
Mm-hmm.
But we have basically been a social movement, right? You know, every day our life has been like being with devotees and association and prasadam and Sunday feast.
True.
So we are missing that a lot. Of course, there is so much of this association over the internet. And also, as days grows by, it's like how to handle this uncertainty. It's still looming. What's going to happen? You know, when the thoughts of uncertainty comes in, what should we tell ourselves, and you know, how to handle this in a practical way?
Good question. Actually, I'm going to say something that may be controversial. Anxiety is not bad, because without some anxiety. I mean, definitely, when I was a new devotee, Prabhupada would put us in anxiety all the time. And a little anxiety. I mean, I'm not talking about crippling anxiety or anything like that. And so it gets us thinking. Because without anxiety, if we're just like, Prabhupada said, an easy life and Krishna consciousness don't go well together. So without a little anxiety, then we really don't make any changes in life or just be introspective. And so this anxiety should inspire us to really go internal in our own Krishna consciousness. Because right now, as you said, we're not able to socialize so much on the internet. And this is not as, frankly, it's not as satisfying as seeing you personally in the same room like that. You know, I'm seeing a whole bunch of little squares of people's heads right now on the screen. And so it's really not as satisfying or as personal. In fact, I am dealing with some devotees personally now, but they have to stay 50 feet away from me because I'm in self-isolation. So I am able to do some things like that. So if Krishna puts us in a circumstance like that, Krishna is telling us to go a little internal with our own selves. And also another thing I've found is that basically I think very few of us are completely alone. You know, we're usually with family members or friends. So it's really helping us deepen relationships with our family. I've seen before that, before this thing happened, many people really never talked to their husbands or wives. Is that true? I mean, other than, you know, what's for dinner tonight? Or when can we go to the temple? So when you're really stuck in this, I don't want to use the word stuck, but you're in the same room with the same person in the same house, you got to get to know your husband and wife. You got to get to know the other devotees. I mean, I experienced this I was in Fiji and locked in an unfortunate situation in my beach house. Anyway, that's a joke. But I was with some very, very nice devotees, and one of them is watching right now, Gokul Bandhu. Probably other devotees are watching with him at the same time. You know, we were basically isolated there. A very nice family, Sanatan Saki, Gokul Bandhu. And actually, you know, really brought us closer together. You know, deepen the relationship. And it also made me think that, you know, we should have these sorts of deep relationships and appreciate each other more. Because when we're too much social in a larger sense, we tend to not really have deep relationships. It's more like social life. So I think when things open up again, when this is one of the things that positively, you know, I think that Krishna is showing us this. So when things open up again, we can really appreciate each other more and get deeper into relationship with each other. I mean, I didn't appreciate all of you when I had the chance. You know, I'm more or less like, you know, hello, Hare Krishna. Oh, you want some blessings? Here's a blessing. You know, two-handed blessing, you know. Namaste, you know. Of course, everyone's learning how to greet each other at Namaste now. Even Donald Trump. So there's an advantage, even to him. So from that standpoint, things will open up. Things will open up, and I think we're learning lessons about relationships now. So I hope that answers that question about, you know, relations. We are very social, and even today I was speaking to Drishta Prabhu when he was stressing that maybe 3-4 times a week I should put out some video messages to be sent to the WhatsApp group, you know, just some things that inspire me, just to tie everybody together, because we need to feel together, because we are together. And so, good question. Good question. We got
thank
a lot.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Got a lot of people, 95 people, including Facebook right now watching us. I want to thank Jagat for hooking up all this internet stuff for me. He's a whiz. So, Mother Tulsi, you have a question. All right, one more question from you.
Okay, so how to deal with like moments of, or periods, not clinical, but just periods or times of depression. Not clinical, I'm talking about.
Clinical, you know. See a doctor.
Yeah.
I think of those times, we should start to count our blessings. You know, oftentimes we concentrate on what's going wrong. And there are a lot of things going wrong in the world. I mean, obviously in our personal lives or whatever going wrong. And if we think about how fortunate we are to have Krishna consciousness, then I think that'll help too. And you know, depression may be a sign that we have some needs. You know, there are certain needs that maybe I don't have enough loving relationships, or I'm not loving enough with other people. So we should do something about it. I'm not saying depression is bad. It's a sign that we should do something about it, to come to the standpoint of positivity. Use that as a sign, a call to action, right? And take responsibility for it. And if you study my book, Empathic Communication, you will understand that. So I think we should end now, right, Aditya, because it's time. Where's the prasadam? Is it virtual prasadam or something like that tonight?
We can sing the prasadam prayers and everyone can honor out their house.
All right. So why don't you sing prasadam prayers? I just have, all I have is steamed vegetables and sauerkraut. So that's my Sunday feast. Okay. You want to do the prasadam prayers for everybody?
So we'd like to thank His Holiness Krishna Goswami Maharaj for the wonderful class and so interesting, like Parma, PRMA, to bring us to Prema. So I really like that talk, Maharaj. And all the 5 points were like really wonderful, and we can practically apply these points in our life. So thank you so much, Maharaj, for blessing us with your kind association. We look forward to more association with you.
Thank you
to each one of you who joined online. Thank you. Those who joined online and also on Facebook, on Zoom and Facebook. So thank you for giving us your virtual association. Nice to see so many devotees here. And also like to make the announcement that we are continuing all our services in the temple, regular deity worship, offering, making the five offerings and artics. And since we are not having guests at the temple, if you'd like to help out, contribute towards the Aartik every day for $51, or we'd like to sponsor Rajbhog Aartik offering every day for again $51, or anything you'd like to contribute. This time we would really appreciate any of your donations. You can either PayPal it to newgoloka108@gmail.com, or you visit our website, newgoloka.com, and we have links there. So any donation is very much appreciated. So thank you for considering. And thank you all so much. Mother Lila Shakti, do you want to add in? So thank you everyone for joining, and thank you again, Maharaj, for blessing us with your kind association.
All glories to His Divine Grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Jai.
Very well.
Thank you.